dude, everybody. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, Shelby, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing good now that we are on air. So let me tell you what just happened. As the music was playing, and I'm sitting here, and the Skype box is open, and here is your name, and here is your face, and the minute I actually said the word coming out of my mouth, it said 11:11 on the Skype. Like, it was 11 minutes, 11 seconds.
Yeah.
Do you want to know why 11:11 is important?
Why is 11:11 important?
Because in numerology, 11:11 is a big sign that people see when they're about to either make a really big shift in their lives on a spiritual plane. And when I started my journey, I think it was about, well, let's see, I basically got electrocuted in my sleep like 3 years ago. But leading up to all of that, I always noticed 11:11. Like every time I was about to make a major shift into my world, I would notice 11:11 or 1:11, or I would see a license plate with 111. And if you look at, if you Google it and look it up on angel numerology, there's all these different symbolisms for it. But I tell people when they start to see that a lot, they're about to enter a new phase of their spiritual quest. So remember how I just said to you, like, oh, I don't even know what I'm going to do my show on today. I'm just waiting for the energy to come in and it's going to be a surprise because I just kept hearing surprise, surprise, surprise.
Right.
Well, I think you and I both are about to start this new spiritual endeavor of our own selves in a new and different way. Isn't that exciting?
It's definitely something different. I can give you that much.
Because usually when we talk before we get on air, like, there's a flow, and there's, you know, there's something to say or whatever.
Sure.
And then when we had our couple of minutes of just like, hey, what's going on? I could feel there was like this glitch energetically. And so I paid attention to that, and I went, okay. I said, well, we're representing something that a lot of people out there that are listening right now are also experiencing. And what I feel is that there's about to be this big turnaround, or there's this big shift, and some people are going through it now, whereas a lot of people are going to begin it at the end of November. So you're on the cutting edge of it.
Just as long as it's not called Christmas shopping, I'll be okay.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be called Christmas shopping. However, possibly Christmas might come early to you.
Okay, I can deal with that.
Because do you like surprises, Lynn?
I haven't had too many to actually judge on whether if I like them or not, but I guess I'm okay with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you like a surprise today?
Depends.
You say that cautiously, Lynn.
Yes, I do. When you were doing Biz Talk yesterday, I was actually having a conversation with my daughter in Pittsburgh, and she likes to try to put that shock factor out there, and it's literally, Dad, guess what? And all I said back was, if you're pregnant, I'm going to kill you. Period, end of story. Just kidding, I think. You better not be pregnant. She said, no, I'm not pregnant. I got my own place. I'm like, ah, okay, good. That's it. That's why I'm cautious when it comes to things like that.
Oh, and how old is she?
She's 19.
Oh, wow, and she has her own place?
Yep, own place, good car, good job, you know. Kind of everything that you wish for, you know. She may not have the, you know, the dream job that you may want her to have, or the life of this, that, and other, but there's a little part of me that says, you know, I did something right with her. She got a job. She has her own transportation. She has a place. and life seems to be cool right now.
You know what? That's awesome, because that means that she's on her way to having more successes. So you might not get to that dream job like right away. You have to have some pre-experiences before sometimes you evolve in your energy to bring in and manifest to you and create that which you are, which is what your dream job usually becomes.
Mm-hmm.
So good for her for getting started. I just had flashbacks. Because when I graduated college, I was 21, and I had gotten an apartment here in Irving. No, it wasn't Irving. It was Arlington, Texas, and because I had gotten a teaching job teaching 7th grade reading.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents came, and they moved me into this apartment, and all of a sudden, my dad said, okay, well, before we leave, we need to sit down with you so we can look at how much money your paycheck's going to be every month, and then show you what your bills are going to be each month so you can, you know, budget your paycheck.
Sure.
And I was like, okay. So he sits down with me, and all of a sudden he starts like, you know, okay, you're going to have to pay this. It's probably going to be this amount. And now you're going to have to pay this. It's probably going to be that amount. And by the time it was all said and done, I think I had $200 or $300 left over for the month.
Yeah.
And I was that I would have left over for the month every month. And teachers got paid, you know, once a month. And literally, I could feel inside of me this like, anger come over me. Like, what the fuck? I can't live off of that.
Right.
Like, I just had this, you know, this... Because I had paid for my college, and I had a job through school, but my parents paid for my living expenses.
Sure.
And so I had this entitlement, so to speak, that I wasn't used to having to pay to live, but I was used to having to pay for my education and for my car and, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came down to actually having to pay, you know, my apartment, you know, my parents did all that.
Right.
So when I saw all that, I was like, oh, God, I just became an adult. And then where I went, what I call astray or wrong, even though there's no wrong, is like your daughter. And I was doing really well with myself and, you know, had my teaching job. I had good credit. I was paying all my stuff. And then, you know what? The man comes in and just fuck that right on up.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the man's fault. Yes, it was. Okay, he had a part of it, but it was also my fault because there was something inside of my spirit that hadn't grown up enough, and then I created this unique pattern around me that a lot of women do, which is, oh, look at the guy I want to help him, let me give him all my money.
Okay.
And so moving the guy in with you and helping him achieve his stuff. And so over time, like my first boyfriend, I didn't know it at the time, but he was an alcohol and drug addict. You would think I would have picked that up.
Right.
No. That's how naive I was. And so after like buying him a car and doing this and doing that, you know, all of a sudden when that situation blew up for obvious reasons,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden I have no money. And I'm, like, looking to scrounge and have to move apartments. And, you know, that was the beginning of the downfall of my financial structure, was because I had actually made bad, what I call unhealthy decisions in the realm of men when I could have made better choices and not felt like I had to give my money in order to feel like I was contributing to the relationship.
I understand that.
And so, and I've learned that it doesn't just have to do with a man in a romantic relationship. You know, it can go either way. It can be a boss at work. It can be a friend, you know, just a guy friend. It can be a romantic interest. You know, I'm going through an issue with my landlord at the moment. And it's just, and so it's all kind of the same energy. And you literally sit there and go, what the fuck?
Right.
And
right.
So I'm looking at it now that the safest way to ever know that you're finally going to have your own place to stay is just to be able to buy it.
Yeah, true. True statement.
you know? And that's kind of where I'm going, because I've been in this situation with my landlord who, like I told you, is, you know, on the end stages of a pancreatic cancer. And, you know, it's just, it's interesting to watch how you think you can trust people, and you think that if someone's nice to you or they're super accommodating, that they're going to be easy to work with. And what I've learned is that at the end of the day, if they want something more for themselves, or something comes in and frightens them and channels something else through them, at the end of the day, they'll throw your ass under the bus.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And that was a naive part of me. Like, I had put so much faith in other people that they would make sure that I was safe and secure and they would do right by me and all of that. And here it is. I've been in this year and a couple of months, you know, landlord-tenant relationship with a 74-year-old man who's on the end stage of the pancreatic cancer, and I've had special considerations for everything that I've done since I've lived here, and I'm a shaman and a minister, you know, so obviously I've been working his energy and helping keep him moving along and things like that. So there's been a very mutual beneficial type of exchange. But at the end of the day, when something flips out in another person's energy that creates them to go, oh, all of a sudden I want you out of here,
right,
you know, then it's like your entire livelihood is in the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where I'm at right now, is that, you know, I rented this house because this is the place that I wanted to buy. You know, this is the place I wanted to put my roots down in and no longer have to be a gypsy and move around. And then I sit here and go, well, my God, Shelby, here's the problem. You manifested a man that's dying, and I didn't even know he was dying until 3 months into my lease, and I didn't even know he was sick. And so here it is. Somehow I, even at this age of, you know, 39 at the time,
sure,
you know, I manifest this landlord who has this house, and he basically for 5 days had to convince me that it was mine. And, you know, so the pattern was still the same, as I got sucked into wanting to help the man. And what I did is I spent a year and several months more concerned about him, mm-hmm, and making sure I had rent than I was more about making sure that I just had me.
Right, right.
And building what I needed to build. And then all of a sudden, when apparently my energy flipped and I went, well, I got to take care of Shelby right now, then all of a sudden his energy shifted. Oh, I got to sell the house and you've got to get out.
Right, right, right.
And so I've had to go through this very weird emotional purging the last several days about being hurt or feeling hurt. And no one has the power to make you feel hurt. Mm-hmm. You can only feel hurt. However, there are situations in your world that can bring up the hurt. So I've been trying to sit here and go, my God, where is all this stemming from?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not the only one going through this. And so, yeah. Okay, I guess I'm done with that thought. What do you have to say on that, Lynn?
You definitely got a lot that you're going through. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, some minutes I don't know if I want to bawl, and other minutes I don't know if I just want to just say, you know what, I think I'm just going to live on the street with my animals. It just might be easier. Because living the high moral spiritual codes, when other people aren't living by those, it's really fucking hard.
It is. It is definitely.
And that's kind of where I'm at. So I think in this segment of whatever I'm talking about, I'm just going to say it. I am just really disappointed in humanity. And I know people listening to this podcast or listening live, they agree with me. Because we have so much bullshit happening out there, and we are not treating each other the way we really need to be treating each other. And everyone has their attention and focus on certain things that really don't matter. And so it's kind of like my landlord is fixated on this 51-year-old house that he hadn't even brought up to code, basically. And you can't take the damn fucking house with you.
Right, right. I understand.
And And with his past track record of everything that he's done, it's like, you really think you're getting another renter? You're going to sell this house? Seriously? Like, I've just watched somebody self-implode, and I'm sitting here watching it, and I'm a part of the casualty, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got six animals, and I'm, you know, currently single and paying for all of my livelihood on a mission that I was put here on earth to do, and I'm staying loyal to that.
Right.
And so it's not like I can just, you know, pack up in two minutes notice and leave. I mean, you're talking about people's livelihoods.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was really interesting before I got on the air, Lynn, was, do you guys have a Mo's in Colorado?
A Mo's?
Yeah, it's a Mo's Southwestern Western Grill. It's like a Chipotle.
Oh, okay. No, we don't.
It's like a burrito place.
Yeah, we basically just have Chipotle, and there may be a few others, but I haven't seen nor heard of a Mo's here.
Oh, okay. They really, I think, originated in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken, and I used to live in Atlanta. So now they're starting to come to Dallas, and there's one that opened up right down the street from me. And I love when you walk in because they go, "Welcome to Mo's."
Okay.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I yell back, "Welcome to Mo's," you know?
Yeah.
And they have really good food, and they have really good queso. But anyway, so I was sitting there eating, and one of the girls that works there, like, came and sat at a table kind of next to me. And we started laughing about this song that came on because it totally didn't fit the genre of what was playing.
Okay.
And then the next thing you know, she starts telling me that she's originally from Pennsylvania, and she just moved here about 3 weeks ago to Texas.
Okay.
And I asked her why, and she's 23 years old, and I asked her why, and she said, "Because I just wanted something different." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, can you describe to me what that means?" And she goes, "Well, you know, I was raised in Pennsylvania. All my family's in Pennsylvania." And she said, "I just decided I wanted something different." She said, "I've been living there for so long, and the people just," she said, "when you want something more and the people around you aren't, you know, achieving other things, you want to move on."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "So I just decided to come to Texas." And I said, "Do you know anybody here in Texas?" And she said, "Nope." And I said, "Wow." And she goes, "Yeah, I'm only at this Mo's training because I'm about to go start at this other one."
Okay.
And she has two kids. She has a six-year-old and she has a two-year-old. And she literally moved. She goes, "I knew I was going to move. I saved up. And I found a place before I got here."
Mm-hmm.
And she's already met her neighbor who has kids. And, you know, the neighbor helps watch the two-year-old when she's at work, and she's just having a great time. And she goes, "My dad was the one that had a problem with it because my dad was saying, 'Well, why are you moving? Your family's here and this and that and whatever.'" And she goes, "Well, because dad, and he said, 'What about your kids?'" And she said, "Dad, my kids don't care where I am. As long as they're with me, they're fine."
Right.
And I said to her, I said, "Yeah, that's always how I feel when I've had to move. I always worry about my animals. Like, oh, my animals really like where I am right now, and now I've got to put them through a move and all that. And I have to be reminded that, you know, my animals will just adjust wherever I am. Because they just want to be with me. It doesn't matter where they are."
Right.
And so, but what I loved about her story is I love the fact that she took the chance and just went for what she wanted.
Yeah.
And I think if more of us took that opportunity and came out of the fear, then we would really achieve, you know, what we want.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, what else do you have to say about that?
I think that rings true, especially with people that... With people that are hesitant to say certain things. You just, I'm of the phrase, you just got to come out with it. You spend so many years being told that it's not appropriate or this isn't right and you can't do this. And then and then literally you kind of grow up with that. So in every situation, you look at it and you say, well, maybe I don't get, you know what? And it's kind of like I told you, told you yesterday after the show. At 35 years old, I developed what was called an F it button. Mm-hmm. And literally, I have to remind myself that, you know, every now and then, you just got to hit the F it button and just say it. And it's made my life so much easier and so much better. I'm not searching for the right words. I already know what I'm going to say. It may hurt, but it is the right thing to say, and I have no qualms about it. And there's less apologies, to put it that way. That's kind of how I feel about it. I think if a lot more people would just say what they got to say, I think the world would get along better. Okay, I'm done.
I love that. You're right. I think if more people would just say what's going on instead of trying to mask everything, that we would have more honesty. And I think that F it button that you have, which is, you know, fuck it.
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm at. I mean, I'm at that point with myself. I'm at that point with, you know, certain things going on in the world and, you know, even certain people that I speak to, whether they're clients or people I run into in the store or whatever, it's like, we have this illusion that everything's supposed to be happy, 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 happy all the time. And the reality is that a lot of people are living in an illusion of what they think is happy. Mm-hmm. And so the lies that they keep telling themselves is really what's masking a bigger problem behind the scenes.
Right.
And then people aren't taking responsibility for who they are and what their energy is doing and all that other kind of stuff. And that's creating an issue in the collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then people like me, who is a very intuned empath and, you know, has to filter a lot of that energy through, we're the ones that take on a big hit because a lot of the people out there aren't awake enough to have enough light shine into their body to where they can take on some of that energy and start moving in a direction of who they're really meant to be.
Right.
Because they're wearing all the masks.
Right.
In the energy. And so I was telling the client this morning, I said, you know, it's time to come away from the mask because there's a responsibility that we all have in the collective consciousness, and this energy that's coming through the planet right now is relentless.
Mm-hmm.
And we're being forced to change no matter what into this new energy dimension, as I call it. Mm-hmm. So whereas before the energy has been very dense and we didn't really have to, we could hide a lot of truth, or if you told a lie, it didn't really matter as much. There was a lot more things you could get away with in the older energy. But now these new energies are coming in with unforeseeable forces, and it's knocking people's energetic systems right and left. And so people in their physical world is going, I don't know why I feel so bad, and I don't know why I feel so confused, and I don't know why I feel like this. Well, it's because we're not usually used to feeling that way. And so now everybody thinks it's so new because we've come away from actually having feelings and learning how to traverse through the feelings, that now all of a sudden everybody goes, oh my God, my world's totally fucked up.
Right.
Well, it's not that your world's fucked up, it's the feelings are fucked up because you're not used to feeling. And we're coming back into a feeling type of society, but people like you and me who are on the front end of this in this little time period, we've been working on this for a while. But come the end of November, there's like this other wave that's going to literally hit people. And all of a sudden, they're just going to, their whole world will be like, oh my gosh, I don't know what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And people like myself and who work in the energies, people are going to start seeking us out, and we're going to become more of the norm. And I've waited, Lynn, my entire life to get to this point.
Nice.
And because I've always felt like I was different and I was made for something energetically like this. I just didn't know what that was. So With that said, I don't know where in the world this show is going.
Know. Hey, get it off your chest.
Get it off my chest. I am. You know, and that's another thing. It's like, it's so funny. When I did the show last week, I didn't think certain people were going to listen that listened. And then I got feedback on the show from people that I didn't even know were listening.
Right.
And so it's so cool that people are going to my website and they're contacting me and they're starting to actually make comments about the show, or, you know, I'm getting a comment here and there on the shows that I've done, like on Cosmic Broadcasting site. And so I'm seeing that there's starting to be this movement towards what I'm talking about. And last week on the show, when I was talking about the Twin Flames, I had a couple of feedback from several people who had actually listened that I had no clue were even listening. And they were like, I thought I was having a private session with you. You know, that really helped me because I felt like you were talking about what I was going through, like, right then. And so I have to remind myself that to keep my own self transparent, because probably what I'm going through in my world sometimes is probably going to be a direct indication of what somebody else is going through.
True.
And then that's how they find me and you, and then they can connect in and go, wow, I'm not alone.
Right, right.
Exactly. And so I've told people, you know, even if you just listen to my show, even if it's not about the content, they're still getting the energy.
Exactly.
So it's a frequency that's coming through. And on that note, I feel like we need to take a hard break.
Yep, you got it.
Okay.
Cosmic Broadcasting, changing the way you hear radio, one show at a time.
We're going to shake things up.
Compelling, inclusive, and without limits.
You ready?
Radio without limits. Cosmic Broadcasting.
Hey guys, this is Len Williams of Cosmic Broadcasting, and if you've ever had an issue with a computer or a computer system, you know how frustrating those things can be. I just had the pleasure of talking with Michael Clark of MRC Technology, and I come away from the meeting thinking that this is the guy that can do it all. Runs a company that specializes in network and computer support, can work on most computer system issues, has over 30 years of experience in the field. Anything from virus cleanup, firewalls, security, web and email hosting, even workstation and server maintenance. This guy can get the job done for you. Windows, Macs, or Linux, you can count on them to do whatever it takes to resolve your issues. Do yourself a favor and get in contact with MRC Technology. 5050 Edison Avenue, Suite 111, right down the hall from Cosmic Broadcasting. Michael Clark, MRC Technologies. Give him a call at 719-362-0710 or check out the web at www.mrct.com. US.
Hey, hey, hey! Welcome to another week of the Animal House.
Guys, our brothers from Pueblo Fire Department are here. Last Wednesday, you guys saved Sarah's dogs. Tell us what it was like, and what is it like getting all this attention?
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, the attention's been overwhelming. We didn't expect. I mean, these aren't the first animals we've saved, so it's kind of surprising to us that these animals have created such a media.
Pueblo Fire, you guys rock. All of you rock.
Thank you.
Yes, and are y'all as good looking as the guys here?
No, they're not.
Oh.
No.
You pretty much got the cream of the crop right here.
Yeah, about as good as it gets.
Oh God! Ladies, that was Nate. Stay away from him. He definitely has an ego. No, I'm kidding.
I
The Animal House, Tuesday, 5 p.m., only on CosmicBroadcasting.com.
I'm Jason, owner of Vapor Source, your one-stop shop for all things e-cigs. We're a complete supplier of all things vapor, electronic cigarettes, and more. We work with the best manufacturers in the industry, so we always have the latest, most current products on the market. We have over 150 handcrafted flavors of Colorado e-liquid made by us. Stop by one of our two Pueblo locations at 618 West 29th Street and our downtown store at 109 West B Street in the historical Union Avenue District. Give us a call at 719-696-8726 or shop us on the web at VaporSourceE6.com.
When you have breast cancer, these are some of the first words you hear. HER2 new oncogene, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do they mean? How can you decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. You can go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those medical words and find out what they mean. Understand your diagnosis and your treatment options. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Or you can simply follow us on Twitter. Follow us at Cosmic Broadcasts 1.
It's worked so far, but we're not out yet.
I want to know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I want to know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
That, Lynn. Oh God, that just like takes me back to my room in high school. It was all pink, and I listened to the radio and tried to win radio contests all the time. And I would listen to my cassette tapes and my 8-track of the movie Grease. And I would just, you know, I just lived in the '80s. The '80s was such a good time period, wasn't it, Lynn?
I don't think you're the only one that shares that. I think there's a lot of people that go through that as well.
Did you ever wear leg warmers just to wear them?
Hell no. Next.
Did you ever do jazzercise?
Once with my sister.
Did you like it?
No.
Oh. Now, I used to jazzercise with my dad.
Now don't get me wrong, the views were nice, but I didn't like it.
Well, I commend you for even going and trying it once.
Well, that's what happens when you get stuck with your sister. You're like, okay.
You're like, oh, I'm going to be a good brother, and I'm going to go and sweat. But I'm going to look at all the hot ladies in leotards.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I think the 80s was like an easier time to live, in my opinion. Of course, I was still a kid.
Okay.
But, I mean, in the 80s, like, the music was so good. You know, the bright colors were so cool. And there was just kind of like this. I mean, I think every decade in some capacity is a great decade.
Right.
However, a lot of people, they're just like, yeah, the 80s. You know, it's just a decade that people don't forget.
Okay.
And I think a lot of times when we grow up to become an adult, you know, we forget what it feels like to be footloose and fancy free. And I was just talking to a client of mine who had a session with me, you know, at one point, and then she says, you know, Shelby, why is it every time I talk to you, I end up feeling lost and confused? Well, I thought that was a very interesting perspective when she asked that question, because a lot of times people say, "Wow, Shelby, I feel so much better," or "I have more clarity now that I've talked to you." And so when I got that feedback from her, I realized the difference between people, because the people who I call spiritually awake, the ones who are literally taking a responsibility for the energies that they're living in, the frequencies, they're paying attention to symbolisms, you know, metaphors, you know, they're doing the work, like the spiritual growth work.
Okay.
Those people, when they shift easier. It doesn't mean that they don't go through trauma and hard times and whatever, but they usually shift nice, you know, nicer.
Okay.
And I'm learning that I'm starting to bring in people who don't really have an understanding of what it's really like to spiritually grow up. And so they're still in a state of control. So they're the ones that they get pulled into me. You know, they like the energies that I bring.
Right.
Yet there's some people that are still like, oh, I don't know if I want to touch that yet, because if I talk to Shelby, I might have to change. And so when this client asked me this question, you know, it was really poignant, because I realized, well, no wonder I never could really get her to move, because every time I did the energy work, then it was like, oh, well, I'm going to go back and hide in my cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, these other things happened that they weren't prepared for necessarily, and all of that could have been not avoided, but it could have been nicer, and you could have prepped for the scenario. And so now that I know really what's coming, you know, the end of this month and next month, and how people are just really like freaking the fuck out.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm going to start getting a whole bunch of people that they don't even understand really what it means to say spiritual awakening.
Okay, I get that.
And, you know, and how would you describe spiritual awakening, like in your words?
The one word that keeps coming to mind is epiphany. It's kind of like an aha moment. It can't be dictated by anybody else. It has to come through you. Period.
Lynn, I love you. You are a genius.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is why I do love men. Even though I was really mad at men last night. Like, when I was driving home, I think I was cussing every man on the planet. I was like, I mean, seriously, I don't think I have said the F word that many times, every other one to two words. But something came over me in my body where I was driving home and I was just like, fuck you, motherfucker. I mean, I was just screaming. I had this huge intense energy of the male energy come in, and I was so mad. I mean, I was naming off specific men. I was yelling at the general population of men. I was just screaming to high heaven about how much I hated men. And then I went, well, that's coming from the collective consciousness, but hello, I'm a big empath. So I was picking it all up, and for some reason that I needed to, right? You know, it was purposeful for me for some reason.
Right.
And then I realized what had been coming into my world yesterday from certain people is that they're either in relationships or business partnerships or, like me, landlord-tenant relationships, and the men have stopped communicating.
Hmm.
And a lot of the women are really, really frustrated. And they're just like, you know, I was talking to him, and now all of a sudden he's not communicating, and he's not doing this, and he's not doing that, and he fell off the planet, or he blocked me, or he did this. And I'm just like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I get it. Yep, I'm going through it too. Yep, it's not just you. Like, I mean, it's just, and these women and who are more conversational are just pissed. And they're like, what is happening with the men that they can't fucking even open their mouth and even just be like, hey, I know you're standing next to me, or sorry, I haven't called you in 5 weeks. And so I said to some people last night, even on my online sessions on Erotum, which you can find on my website at www.texaspsychicmedium.com. Don't ask me where that came from.
No, I'm not.
That voice. But anyway, so I don't even know what I was saying. Oh, what was I saying, Lynn? Oh, I said, I don't know. Oh, done. I am done with that thought.
Okay.
I think we call that a cliffhanger.
Yeah, or a teaser.
I feel, Lynn, I'm getting really, really close to my microphone, and I really feel like I'm starting to come back to Shelby.
Uh-oh.
Lynn, I'm starting to feel really good, and I have like 20 minutes left in the show.
Okay, we'll make it a good 20.
It took me 40 minutes to clear this bullshit off of me. Oh my God, I just saw it, Lynn. I just had the epiphany. Oh my God, Lynn, I just had the epiphany.
All right.
Holy shit. This is what I'm telling people. You cannot even fucking plan for this. Oh my God. I need to think twice if I really need to do a radio show if I have to live like this every week. Oh my God. Okay. Just kidding. I do. Now I'm going to explain the epiphany. This is why I love you, Lynn. Because when I got on air and I saw how much time we had been on Skype, it was literally, like I said, 11:11, spiritual awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Remember before we got on air and I said, I don't know what I'm talking about today. I'm just going to let it roll. But I kept hearing the word surprise, surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because you're such an amazing man, you just let me go off and do my thing, okay, which I love. And then all of a sudden I ask you one question, and you just so happen to have the exact answer that I needed to hear.
Nope.
When I said, what is your definition of spiritual awakening? And you said, well, the one word that comes to my mind is epiphany. And that has to come from inside. So thank you for guiding me today on my epiphany. Let me tell you this. Don't you feel like you want to grab your man balls because you just helped somebody? This is awesome.
Spiritually and mentally, yeah. Physically, probably not. Especially when I got people about to walk in the room in 15 minutes. Not a good pose you want to be the number two person in the firm holding on to specific genitalia in front of other people.
Or you could do your gangsta pose and go, yo, 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 I just got this bitch to have her epiphany, yo.
Nah, that's the 18-year-old Lynn Williams. He's gone 20 years ago.
We need to bring him back sometimes. He's fun.
I think he's okay right where he is.
When appropriate. Okay, here's my epiphany. Whew, okay, I just had the epiphany. Where'd it go? Let me bring it back. Okay. So a lot of people in the world right now are starting to not really feel like themselves. And they're having this awakening where they don't really know who they are anymore. And yet they're starting to have a lot of these a lot of women, but I'm noticing it in the men's structure too.
Mm-hmm.
I met this guy at a Halloween party over the weekend, and he literally said to me that he was scared because he was having all of these sensations running through him, and he could hear voices, and this guy is a very prominent businessman, okay? Like, manages, you know, lots of people. And he confided in me, and he goes, you know, Shelby, I'm scared. He said, all this stuff is happening. I can sense things. You know, I was feeling all kinds of things, and I wanted to get on the phone and call everybody and make sure that they were okay, and I don't know if, you know, my wife understands, and I feel all alone, and, I mean, literally, he was freaking out. And so I quickly, you know, got in rapport with him and started, you know, transferring energy back and forth to kind of calm down what was freaking him out. And I said to him, I said, well, this is happening in the general population, however, I'm noticing that because men have less emotional issues because they don't run the emotional brain as much as the women do for obvious reasons, I said the men are the fact about men is they will fall in love easier because they will open their hearts faster because they don't have as much bullshit in the emotional body that they have to run through. So when they find something they love, man, they're in it. And that's why I call it like brotherly love. Like there's just this camaraderie between guys that is so genuine because they don't have all the bullshit in the way. Whereas with women, we're sitting over here judging and pointing and chatting and gossiping, and not all women, but you know, it's in the DNA of the female energy. And so what I'm noticing with all this energy, this epiphany that I'm having, is that you basically, in a subtle energy, and I'm looking at your cute little face on Skype right now, in subtle energy, you basically took on me, you know, my energy. And then somewhere I took on you, or a male energy. Now, it doesn't mean you took on me, I took on you, but we kind of flip-flopped male-female roles.
Okay.
And so somewhere I have been learning and living like a man over the last several months, really, but really in the last, you know, couple of days, I've really taken on this energy. This is the epiphany that I've taken on this energy role of the man. And I just realized how difficult it has been for me to push through this wall in order for me to have an epiphany so I could have a spiritual awakening. And so this helps me with my twin flame relationship of the guy that I know is my twin. I'm not in a, like, physical, like, relationship with him at the moment or anything like that, but I mean, I know who he is. And so, and I know what the history is. And so this actually brings me more compassion, understanding on his end how difficult it really is to, like, flip that switch and have the spiritual awakening and go, oh, Gene, there it is. Because being a female, we can just channel things in really, really quickly, and we're so good at feeling and picking up emotion and stuff like that, that it's not hard for us to have the breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And so, but for men, literally on this radio show, I just got to experience what it's like for the men out there.
Nice.
Damn. Lynn, I am going to make a fucking awesome wife to someone one day. Seriously.
That's the spirit.
It is. Because I'm sitting here going, I have learned and experienced kinesthetically through my body so much compassion for the male side, and really what it's like to be a man. And I've always had this, oh God, I am feeling so good right now, Lynn. I just want to hug you. Yay, I'm getting back to me. But it's like, I've always wondered what it was like to be a man. And I always thought to myself, man, you know, well, pun intended, men must have it easier because they can just bro around and have fun and this and that. You know, it just seemed like it was so easy to be a man. Well, let me tell you what. I take all that back. Because I don't think it's easy to be a man. I think it's even harder to be a man because you have to deal with, like, psychosis in women because of all of our fucked up emotions.
Psychosis. And so, awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, where did that word come from? I might have to look up the real meaning of that word. But it just came out of my mouth. So I look at it and go, and here we went, women have, like, persecuted men for so long that, oh, everything is the man's fault because they don't understand who we are. And they're the ones fucked up. Well, I'm sitting over here going, man, men just need a psychologist degree just to be able to deal with us. So, I mean, and even when a woman, even I say this for myself, even when we think we're right, once you get the perspective and you get the energy transference and you go, oh, wait, oops, that wasn't right, you know, and then you feel bad. And then you feel bad for beating your man up, like, oops, sorry. So, like, that's the experience I just had because it has been, with my twin flame, like, it was so easy for me to come into my gift. It was so easy for me to spiritually awaken because I had no barrier or block of letting in the energy, letting in the light, so to speak. Hello, I got electrocuted in my sleep. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I didn't have a problem with that. So when I met this guy and he was in rapport in that label of the twin, I could not understand for the life of me why he could not just get there. Like, I didn't understand why he couldn't just automatically just feel or automatically just move through this huge block, or I didn't understand why he had to keep going back to shit. Well, same reason I have to keep going back to stuff. You know, we're not done yet. But that's what I just felt, because I have felt over the last several days, I have felt like this heaviness and this really heavy, manly kind of energy that I didn't even know I was carrying. And then all of a sudden, when you said that, I just had the epiphany and went, oh my God, I just got to experience what it's like being a man and not being able to release something that intellectually you know you're carrying around, but it's such a burden and you don't know how to get it out of your energy field. I'm going to say this right now. This is a public service announcement, Lynn. And I'm going to apologize to every penis out there that has been completely annihilated by a vagina. I am going to apologize for all of the vaginas on the planet. Just because we're a bunch of bitches, really, even though we're amazing bitches, because somewhere we have maybe screwed up a man's existence somehow because we thought we were right when really we were not. And I mean that in a whole bunch of different ways. So it doesn't mean that there's women out there right now that are you know, doing that. Yes, it does mean that, because we're not perfect. But I do. I've really been pro-guy right now. Like, you know, the last several months, really, I've been all like pro-man, pro-man, pro-man. And I'm like, why am I acting like this? Well, now I know. I think I'm ready for marriage. What do you think?
I'm staying out of that one. Last person I set up, they didn't go so well, so I'm just going to keep my hands off.
What does your intuition say? I want to know, Lynn. I want you to do, as we're, you know, have a few minutes left, I want you to just kind of do a read on me.
If you're, I don't know, I guess if you're wondering if you're ready for marriage, I would probably say yes. The thing is, you have to find somebody who is, that is not necessarily ready, but is willing to take on the challenge, because as you had put it a couple of minutes ago, I'm just going to sum it up. You're a challenge. You are somewhat of a challenge, and you have to find somebody who is willing to accept that challenge. It's not a thing of them being ready, but it's a matter of, are you willing? And that's, to me, that's what you got to look for.
I love that. I needed to hear that, because I think in my mind, I've been stuck on, well, is somebody ready to commit? Because a lot of women will say, oh, well, the man's not ready to commit or whatever. Like, we get hung up on the word commitment. Mm-hmm. And I like your perspective also, which is, well, is someone willing to take on the challenge? Is someone willing to come in and play that game? And play it effectively for both parties. So, I like that. Ooh, what else do you have to say?
That's pretty much it, other than you got about 4 minutes. That's about it. That's about all I got.
And you know what the number four represents? Foundation. Four is foundation.
Okay.
In numerology. So, now let me ask you this question. Am I ready to build a foundation? And if so, what new foundation am I ready to build?
I'm going to take that back to my previous answer. It's not a matter of being ready. It's a matter of being willing. You have a tool in your hand. The person whom you meet will have the correct tool in their hand so that you two could possibly build together. Now, granted, two people can't be together unless their very own foundations are strong. So there's probably some work to do there. But I look at it as you are willing. I put it this way. You are ready, but the other person has to be willing. And with that, I think you would have to be a little patient, but when you find them, you'll know. There, that's Lynn, it. Taking it off. Taking my hat off. I'm done.
Literally, Lynn, my palms are sweating. Like, that was so much energy that you put into my body. Like, my palms are sweating. Guess what, Lynn? You're psychic.
Eh.
You're intuitive.
Okay, I'll take that.
This is the Lynn and Shelby Show.
Ah, wait, whoa. Already involved with too many. This is yours.
No, remember, we only date for an hour.
Yeah, I know.
We only partner for an hour, and then we go off.
Right.
And then, but I had the unique gift of being able to have you for 2 days. So we've really been together for 2 hours. But today was like the big schnoozer.
Right.
Schnoozer. Where did I get that word?
I don't know.
So I want people to leave a comment. If they're listening to the podcast or they're listening live, I want the listeners out there, whoever you may be, to leave a comment about what you are willing to bring into your world now. Because I'm curious about, because I think you're right. We always say that we're ready, but are we willing? So in the comment box, type, I am willing to get married, or I am now willing to spiritually shift, or I am now willing to cut my hair. I mean, like, whatever it is, I'm going to ask everybody in the comment box below the podcast, if they're listening to it on podcast, to leave a comment about what they're willing to do. And I want to leave the show today by saying to people that on my website, thetexaspsychicmedium.com, there is so much energy in the frequencies that go into my blog or go into the radio show or go into my YouTube videos or anything that's on my website. And that can actually help people purge and cleanse whatever's going on if they're resonating with something on the website. So I encourage everybody to go to the website. If you feel like you want to set up a private session with me, my contact information is on there. And, you know, I can do private sessions. But they can at least buy my books, or they can get the energy through my YouTube videos, or, you know, whatever it is. Because we really are in this together. And I am willing now to create a community online, through social media, through the radio show, all this kind of good stuff, where we can have communication with each other back and forth through the comment section of the radio show or on my website or through Facebook or whatever, because I really want to know what everybody's going through, because that kind of allows me to tap into an energy that I can put back out in a media format where it can help everybody shift.
Right.
So on that note, Lynn, I am complete, and I want you to say some closing words before we play Flashdance, I'm assuming.
like I always say, in the words of Russell Simmons, thanks for coming out. God bless you. Good night.
Love it. Bye, everyone.